Last week, I brought a message to you on the storms of life. A message that had superseded the one that I had been preparing throughout the week. And I stated at that time last week that the message that I had set aside would be presented this week. Guess what? God had a different plan. And I would like to be able to stand before you this morning and tell you how enthusiastically I embraced that change of direction. I would, however, be guilty of lying. God had to put this message in front of my face 5 different times before I finally said, okay. God oftentimes speaks to me through circumstances. It took him 5 times to get through. I am hopeful that it won't take you 5 times to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church this morning. My reluctance was not based purely on stubbornness. I have a minute amount of that in my system.
We can tell.
My reluctance was based on the fact that the things that he was bringing before me, the things he wanted to bring before you, are things that have been brought before you and me numerous times. While these truths are critical both to our relationship with Jesus and our relationships with each other, they are also truths that we're well aware of. But awareness, beloved people, is not enough. You know the story of the individual who tells his employer that he's not afraid of work? He's not afraid of hard work. He can lay right down next to it and go to sleep. I fear that that is sometimes the attitude of God's people. They're not afraid of the truths of God. They just don't do anything with them. So I stand before you this morning with a word from the Lord specifically to Mayor Community Church, and then to the body of Christ at large. I want us this morning to try and answer the question, how recognizable are we as Christians? How recognizable are we as Christians? Now, there are 2 ways that we can be recognized. First of all, we can be recognized by our stated beliefs, telling somebody that we're a Christian. Secondly, we can be recognized through our specific behavior. But I believe that too often we rely too heavily on the first one and don't give enough weight to the second one, meaning we rely too heavily on our spoken word to convince somebody that we are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ rather than letting our behavior speak to that fact. In fact, a lot of times we have to convince people with our words because our behavior does not jive with what we're saying. There's an old saying that states, actions speak louder than words. And that is nowhere more true than in the portraying of a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your actions will tell more about your degree of discipleship than anything that you have to say. Now, there are 3 things that I want to deal with this morning, 3 very simple points. They're outlined before you on your piece of paper. And you'll see that they have Roman numeral 1, Roman numeral 2, and Roman numeral 3. But each point starts with 1, Then the second point starts with two, and the third point starts with three. So in effect this morning, I'm going to teach you to count. One, two, three. Three things that I believe if we can get a grasp in our understanding of these three specifics, the behavior that we manifest will be in keeping with our discipleship. First, there is one distinction of our life. One distinction of our life. And that one distinction of our lives is love. The reason I want you to have a Bible is because I want you to use it this morning. There are a lot of different scriptures, as you can see from your outline, that we're going to be looking at. And I want you to turn to these scriptures as we discuss them. What I'm going to do is I'm going to move rapidly through them because I want the Word of God to speak for itself. I'm not going to give a long, drawn-out explanation of every single scripture verse. I'm going to leave the remarks that the Lord has laid on my heart to the end of the sermon. Turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. We're looking at the one distinction of our lives, and that is love. John chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus says to his disciples, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by the love that you demonstrate one towards another." Now turn to 1 John. And by the way, I think it's interesting that the context of dealing with love, we're dealing in a lot of scriptures by the Apostle John. He is known as the Apostle of Love. And that is the theme of much of his writing. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. "In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." Now, what that simply did was put it in a negative, but it showed you the contrast between the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ and the individual that is not. And that contrast simply stated, the one who is a disciple does righteousness. The one that is a disciple loves his brother. Not only is there one distinction of our lives as disciples, and that is the distinction of love, but there are two dimensions of love. Two dimensions of love. The first dimension is agape. Now, agape is the Greek word that is used to describe a specific type of love. The second type of love is described by the Greek word philia. Agape is love that is based on a decision from the will. In other words, I'm choosing to love you. It's not performance-based. I'm not loving you because of anything you do. I'm not loving you because of anything you say. I am loving you because it's my choice. That's agape. Philia, on the other hand, is a loving friendship that's based on common interests. I love you because I love to go fishing with you, or I love to go shopping with you. We have this common interest, this common bond that binds us together. It's something that we do together. How does that relate to Christianity? How does that relate to discipleship? This first dimension of love, agape, the Bible tells us that God, in John chapter 3, verse 16, that's the scripture if you want to turn to it, "For God so loved the world." God demonstrated agape towards the world. You can put your name in the place of the world because that's what it's literally saying. Is you as an individual mean so much to God, he loved you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That word love is agape. God's love for us is not performance-based. In other words, you don't have to be good enough. You want to know something? You can't be. There is no one who has ever walked this earth apart from the Lord Jesus Christ who was good enough. It's a relief that we don't have to come to God based on our performance. We come to God based on what the Lord Jesus Christ did. So God's love towards us is agape. But our love is also supposed to be agape. You see, not only did God love us with agape, but he expects us to love others with agape. In other words, to make that determination in our will to love people in spite of who they are, in spite of what they are, in spite of what they look like, smell like, dress like, whatever their background is. And you'll find that if you'll turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, verse 1 says this: whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loves him that begat. Now what that simply means is everyone that loves God, the one who gave life, loves him also that is begotten of him. Here's what it means. Everyone that loves God who gave life loves the individual that he gave life to. That life that it's talking about is eternal life. So everyone that loves God, says that they love God, has an obligation to also demonstrate that agape towards their brothers and sisters in Christ. But what about filio? You know, there are a lot of individuals in the Christian church. In fact, there is a statement that goes, I love you in the Lord, but. And sometimes that but is left open-ended without a definition. Other times they say, but I don't really like you. May I suggest to you this morning that filial love is the love that really likes somebody? And I also want us to understand this morning that we are commanded to not only love each other in an agape manner that stems from our will, but we are commanded to like each other. That's what makes us Firestone Christians. That's where the rubber meets the road. I want to prove it to you. Do you know that God has filial love towards you? He doesn't just have agape. He wants to be on a friendship basis with you. Now you think about that for a moment. If that doesn't stagger and amaze your mind, there's not a whole lot of hope that the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, the creator of the heavens, the creator of the stars, the creator of the cell structure of the human body, wants to be your friend. Wants to have a friendship-based relationship with you. Where do we find that? In John chapter 16, the Gospel of John. Chapter 16. The word that is used here is filio, John chapter 16, verse 27. For the Father himself filios you. There it is in black and white. The Father himself has filio toward you. Philadelphia type love, brotherly love, friendship love. What about us? You see, God has set himself the standard. He has set himself as the standard, but he has also set himself as the pattern. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Have kind affection towards each other. Demonstrate brotherly love towards each other. That's what the Apostle Paul is telling the Christians at Rome. This was not a suggestion. It came forth as a command. This is something that God's people are expected to be involved in doing. Cultivating brotherly love with each other. But too often times, we stop at the agape part and we go no further. What God wants to have happen in our experience is that the agape becomes the initialization of love in us and through us. And then we continue to carry it through by his power, by his spirit, with filial love. So that we can actually come to the place in our lives where we say, I heard somebody say just a couple days ago, there isn't anybody in this church that I don't love. That's awesome. That's wonderful. Now let's take it one step further. Is there anybody in this church that you don't like? Is there anybody in this church that you have a hard time liking? What the scripture is telling us is that is something that we need to overcome by the power of God, because he wants us to demonstrate filial love towards each other. He demonstrated it towards us. He wants us to demonstrate it towards each other. So we've looked at the one distinction of our lives, that's love. We've looked at the two dimensions of love. There's agape and there's filio. Now let's look at the three directions of our love. The three directions of our love. The first direction of our love is upward. Upward. And we find the scripture for that. And by the way, there's both an agape part to this and a filial part to this. You'll find it in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. An individual who was seeking out the truth, who also happened to be an attorney, approached the Lord Jesus Christ, and in verse 36 of Matthew 22, he says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. There's an amazing thing that takes place in Scripture. Back in Exodus chapter 20, God appeared on Mount Sinai in the form of a flaming fire and smoke. And at that point of time in Israel's history, he gave to them the Ten Commandments. 10 rules for living. 10 laws for living. Not 10 suggestions. 10 laws. Then you go into the book of Leviticus and you find that the Spirit of God takes those 10 laws and expounds on them. And I don't know if you've ever read through the book of Leviticus. It makes interesting reading and it also makes frightening reading. Because of all of the things that are required in order to bring ourselves to perfection. And then along comes Jesus, who perfectly lived out the law. And he doesn't deal with the thousands of minor laws that are giving emphasis to the 10 major laws. He takes the 10 major laws and reduces them to 2. He says the first one is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Then he says the second is like unto the first. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The love that he's talking about here is agape. You have the right, you have the ability to make a determination in your life, I will love God. That's why Joshua was able to say, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made a determination in his will that he was going to follow Jehovah. That's what discipleship is. That's what it means when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. You're saying, I am making a commitment of my life to follow Jesus. I want to be his disciple. So the first commandment is, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You make that determination in your will. But we're not only commanded to love God in an agape way, we're commanded to love God with filial love. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now listen to this. If anyone love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. That means let him be cursed by God himself. The word love here is filio. If you have no intent, if you have no desire to get your life on a friendship basis with God, the apostle says here, you're accursed. You're cursed. God wants his people to be on a friendship basis with him. That's filial love. He demonstrated that towards us, and he wants us to demonstrate it back towards him. Do you know what one of Abraham's characteristics was? You know how Scripture describes him? He was the friend of God. Boy, I want to tell you something. You can't have a better friend than God. But how many people want to take the effort to maintain that friendship? So the first direction of our love is to be upward. Both in agape, I am determining to love the Lord my God, and in filio, I want to be friends with God. And that's why Jesus came, because God wants to be your friend. Not only is the direction of our love to be upward, but the second direction of our love is to be inward. Inward. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, we have an error here, and since this was put out by the computer, it's a computer error. The reference is wrong, but the idea is right, and there is a reference to it. One that we already quoted, but I don't want to go back and try and find it. But it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy strength, with all thy soul, with all thy heart, with all thy strength. And your neighbor, how? as yourself. That's inward. You see, the Bible makes an assumption, and it's a correct assumption. The word for love here, with regard to loving yourself, interestingly enough, is agape. To love yourself is an exercise of your will. To accept yourself for who you are is an exercise of your will. And God says we are supposed to love our neighbors in the same manner that we love ourselves. We're to exercise that agape love towards ourselves. Come to terms with who we are. Come to terms with what we are. And love ourselves. And when you have settled that, then you are on firm foundation to be able to reach out and love other people. So the direction of our love is not only to be upward towards God, but it's to be inward towards ourselves. And beloved people, don't get the order mixed up. God is first. Too many people put themselves in that first place position and have all sorts of struggles in life. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, these multitudes of his blessings will be added unto. What God wants is first place in our lives. So that first direction is upward. The second direction is inward. The third direction of our love is outward. Outward. And our recipients to that outward direction of our love. The first recipient that I want us to deal with this morning is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Matthew 5. Verse 43 says, you have heard that it's been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Jesus is speaking, and he says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. And by the way, that word love is in the continuous action. And it's a continuous action in such a way that it's stating that you are to make this a pattern of your life. Love and keep on loving as a pattern of your life your enemies. That is one of the outward directions of our love, our agape love. We are to keep on loving as a pattern of our experience those who have declared war on us. Want me to name some names? Ted Turner. Billionaire has declared war on the Christian church. Has let it be known his hatred for God and the Ten Commandments. What's the Christian's response supposed to be? Hating back? Getting God? No. Love him. And the Christian church should be praying that the Spirit of God will raise up people around Ted Turner who will love him with agape love. So the first recipient of that outward is to be our enemies. The second recipient is found in Matthew chapter 19, verse 19. Matthew 19. Verse 19. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love your neighbor. That's the second outward recipient of our love. Love our neighbor. If you have a question as to who your neighbor is, Jesus answers that by the parable of the Good Samaritan. Your neighbor is anybody you come in contact with, whether by design or by happenstance. Your responsibility is to demonstrate love towards that individual. So the first recipient of our outward display of love is our enemies. The second recipient are our neighbors. The third recipients, who are they? Your Christian brothers, your Christian family. And we are to display toward them, according to 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, we are to display toward them agape love, the love that is rooted in our will. In other words, I am going to love my Christian brother, whether I think he deserves it or not. I'm going to love him because I choose to. I'm going to love him in spite of his performance. 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8 said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love." I can't get any plainer than that. If you have not made a determination in your will to love a Christian brother or sister, you better check out your roots. Because there's a question about your discipleship. Because what she's saying here is if you love, you're of God. If you love not, you're not of God. You don't know him. Why? Because God is love. And if God dwells in you, then the thing that he's going to produce through you is going to be what? Love. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. Look at verse 11. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." It's an obligation, beloved people. But let's understand something. Just because it's an obligation does not mean it's a chore. Remember that song we just sang? "Learning to love you, how easy it is." That's God's intent. God didn't mean for this to be something that was hard and difficult and bordering on the impossible. He meant for it to be something that comes natural as a result of our determination and our will. I choose to love you. It's where I'm going to place my affection. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you did to earn it, and there's nothing you can do to take it away. Wouldn't that be a tremendous point of security for God's people? If it didn't matter what they did, what they said, or how they dressed, the love wouldn't go away? That's God's intent. That's what he's telling us to do. We have an obligation to love one another. That's agape love. But we also have an obligation to love each other with filial love. Turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 9. "But as touching brotherly love," that's filio or Philadelphia, "you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another." That's agape love. The first is filio, the second is agape. What he's saying is God has taught you to show agape love towards each other, and as a result of that demonstration of agape love, you're going to be loving each other with brotherly love. Filial love is going to arise out of that. You're going to find and establish friendships in the kingdom of God. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 says this: "Let brotherly love continue." The writer to the Christians who were Hebrew Christians, is making a statement that we have a responsibility to make sure that nothing hinders the brotherly love. Brotherly love is to continue on. It's not something that's supposed to stop at any given moment. It's to keep on manifesting itself. Let brotherly love continue. And by the way, in English language terminology, do you know what the subject is there? You. You find a you there? No, it's understood. The subject is called you understood. You are the subject. So it's saying to you is, you let brotherly love continue. That's your responsibility. That's the part that God is giving to you to do in your interpersonal relationships. You let brotherly love continue. Now let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 22. Peter writes, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Do you know what unfeigned love means? The word love at that point is phileo. The unfeigned means without hypocrisy. In other words, you don't tell somebody, I love you, and then stab them in the back. You are real in your filial love towards them. And they know it, and you know it. You have an ongoing friendship. You have a strong relationship. There's nothing fake about it. Now turn to chapter 3, same book, 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brothers, be pitiful. Well, we've got that one down, don't we? Be courteous. Do you know one of the big things that's lacking amongst Christians? Courtesy. We are to treat each other as friends in a courteous manner. Awesome. One distinction of our lives, two dimensions of our love, three directions of our love. And in light of all of these scriptures, there should be no doubt as to what God's desire is for us. The one distinction of our lives is to love, both with agape and filio. We are to agape each other and filio each other. We are to love each other stemming from our will, and we are to love each other on the basis of friendship and common interests. This is a distinction, beloved people, that is to be recognized by others. If you'll turn back with me to one of the first scriptures that we dealt with in John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Verse 35, Jesus says to his disciples, by this, by what? The obeying of the commandment to love each other, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. How? By the love that you demonstrate one towards another. In other words, the world is watching your interpersonal relationships. The world is listening to what you have to say about each other. And what they hear and what they see should be a reflection of love. Agape love and filial love. When you hear somebody out there talking about somebody in the church, you should say, wait a minute, that's my friend. But unfortunately, what happens is too many times God's people get sucked into that time of gossip, and they also begin to talk about that beloved brother from the church or sister. That's not demonstrating filial love. He says, by this shall all men know. That word know comes from the Greek word ginosko. And according to Vine's expository dictionary, it signifies to be taking in knowledge. In other words, the world is in the process of taking in knowledge. You're giving it to them. It means not only to take in knowledge, it means to come to know. It means to recognize. In other words, by your behavior, you are being recognized as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the love you're demonstrating. What was the title of this morning's message? What's the question we're trying to answer? How recognizable are we? Maybe it should be, what are we recognized as? According to this scripture, if we are correctly demonstrating love, we're going to be recognized as the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word know also means to understand completely. They're going to come to complete understanding of whose you are. You never knew so much could be packed into what you were demonstrating or what you were saying, did you? But see, that is only the only lifeline that the world has to the Christian church to tell whether or not we are real. Not only is this a distinction that is recognized by others, but beloved people, this is a distinction that is recognized by the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, and by the way, that day is the day of the Lord, the day we stand before the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name have cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. And by the way, the emphasis is exactly like that. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Iniquity. What's iniquity? In this particular passage of Scripture, iniquity is the opposite of righteousness. It is not doing what is right because you're doing what is wrong. The emphasis is on doing. The emphasis is on your action or your lack of it. If you're not loving your brother with filial love, it's iniquity. If you're not loving your brother or sister with agape love, it's iniquity. If you're not loving the Lord your God and desiring to be his friend, it's iniquity. And he says to those workers of iniquity, depart from me, I never knew you. Turn with me to Luke chapter 13.
Luke chapter 13, verse 27. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Now, at first reading, we would think that this was the exact same statement, exact same meaning, because it has a lot of the same words as Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. But here, the word iniquity is a different Greek word. The word iniquity here means a condition of not being right. Remember, Matthew 7, 23 was an action of not doing right. Here, it's not being right according to the standard of God's holiness and righteousness. The motive here is in view. The emphasis is on motive. Whereas in Matthew 7:23, the emphasis is on action. In other words, these individuals had a creed that was not matched by their conduct, a belief that was incongruent with their behavior. They believed with their head, but not their hearts. Their hearts were not conformed to the image of Jesus. So Jesus says to them, depart. Very serious situation. May I suggest to you that when we enter into his presence, as we enter into eternity, we will either hear his words, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord," or we will hear, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." How do we keep from being in that last group? How do we keep from hearing him say to us, "Depart from me, you that work iniquity"? Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, and he makes the statement, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So our first responsibility in order to keep from becoming classified with that second group is that we have to take on the responsibility of departing from iniquity. We've already defined what iniquity is in relation to our actions and in relation to our motive. And what we are being admonished here is to make sure that if we are truly naming the name of Christ, that we have departed from iniquity. There's another thing that we were involved in doing. And by the way, 2 Timothy 2:19 is our part. There's another part that we have to be involved in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That word unrighteousness there is the same word as we have been dealing with, that we have been talking about, and it's classified in Scripture with the word iniquity. So let's read it again with that statement. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all iniquity." Our responsibility is, first of all, to depart from iniquity in our actions, in our motives. Our responsibility is to confess that sin, that iniquity before the Father, and what happens is that he cleanses us from all iniquity. We become pure. We become clean. We are then in the position to enter into his presence and hear his words, "Well done, you good and faithful servant." So he is faithful. He is able to forgive us and to cleanse us
from all iniquity. Whether the iniquity of our wrong actions or the iniquity of our wrong attitudes, all we do is admit it. And hallelujah, He does the rest. Even to supplying the grace to both agape and filio each other. Remember, that is God's goal for us, that we be involved in demonstrating agape love towards each other, and that our brotherly love continues to abound, that we are involved in demonstrating friendship towards one another. We not only love each other, we like each other. And I believe that second part is one of the big things that's missing amongst God's people. We have become too content to mouth the words that we love you in the sense of agape, but we have not done the necessary things in order to bring that love into the next dimension of filio for each other. God wants us to honestly be able to say and to portray, I not only love you, agape, I like you, filio. I can honestly say, I love everyone in this church. I like everyone in this church. What God wants us to be able to do is to build those human relationships. Because remember, this is the only picture that the world has that what we say we believe is real. They're not impressed by our holiness. They call it holier than now. They're not impressed with our church going. They're not impressed by how much time we read the Bible or how much time we spend in prayer. The only thing that Jesus said will impact their lives and cause them to realize that we are real is when we are demonstrating agape and filio love towards each other. May God bless us. May God help us to learn this lesson in order that He might be glorified in His people, through His people, that He has called the church.